Tonight we're continuing our study in Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going through that list of people, men and women, that God calls heroes of the faith. And if God calls somebody hero of the faith, I think that we all could stand to learn great things from them. And that's why we're studying these characters of the Bible. At the same time, I think it's kind of ironic that I'm standing up here delivering this message tonight because I don't consider myself as very strong in the faith. So as I speak to you tonight, I'm speaking first to myself and then to the church as a whole. But if you want to turn to Hebrews chapter 11 with me, we're going to start reading verses 8 through 10, where it says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and went out to a place he was going to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, co-heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God." Amen. The first thing that it says about Abraham is that when God called him, he went out, he obeyed, and he went out. He left his city, he left his place, he left his comfort zone, and he went. And I'm going to get a little personal tonight, and like I said, I don't consider myself as somebody who's really strong in the faith, and pretty soon you'll see why. God originally called me, and I've shared my parts of my testimony, at least with some of you at times, and God originally called me in my late teens, my early 20s, and I felt the Holy Spirit just calling me to go into the ministry. And unlike Abraham, I said no. And it was because of my lack of faith. I said, "No, God, I can't do it." I grew up in a pastor's house, and I've seen how difficult it is. And, you know, please don't think that I'm trying to get dramatic tonight. I'm not. I'm just telling you from my perspective, growing up in a pastor's household, what it was like. And I saw my dad who, you know, believe me, my dad is not a saint. My dad isn't perfect, but he is a good man. And he has had and has that desire to serve God and to do God's will. And that's the driving force that leads everything that he does in his life. And in many ways, he is my hero. But even as my hero, I saw him betrayed multiple times in his life. And I saw how people would smile to his face and then stab him in the back. And that, just growing up as a kid, when you realize that people can do that, when you realize that people who call themselves Christians can do that, it starts to wear on you. And I said, "No, God, I can't do that. That's not for me. I can't be a pastor. There's no way that I could go through what my dad and what my family went through." So I said no. And many of us have special callings on our lives. Many of us have had a special, maybe a prophetic word that God's given you. And we have the opportunity to choose to follow, to say yes or to say no. All of us have that opportunity. But it doesn't have to be something so dramatic as a call to ministry, or it doesn't have to be something as powerful as a prophetic word. It doesn't need to be like that. It's the whole Word of God, the whole Bible, all 66 books are prophetic. All of it is the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. And it's the Word of God to us. It's the Word of God speaking to us and calling us into obedience. There are so many passages, and the Bible is so practical. Like I said, it doesn't have to be super dramatic. The Bible is so practical. For instance, in Hebrews 10, in chapter 10, verse 25, it says, "Don't stay away from our worship meetings, as some habitually do." Don't stay away from church, as some people habitually do. There are some people, some Christians, some brothers and sisters from our own church whose habit is to stay away from church, whose habit is to stay away from worship meetings. The Word of God is clearly speaking to us, and he's saying, it's important for you to be here. It's important for us to gather together. Yet for many of us, we choose to disregard that word. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "Children, obey your parents as you would the Lord." Christian children, Christian sons and daughters, obey your parents. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, the Word of God says. Don't treat your parents like you see other kids treating their parents on TV. That's not our those aren't our role models. Those aren't the people that we look up to for inspiration on how to live our lives and how to treat our parents. The Bible says honor them, listen to them, obey them. It goes on, then it says, it doesn't just stop at the kids, but it goes on to the parents, and it says, parents, but especially fathers, specifically says, fathers, don't stir up anger in your children. Fathers, how do you treat your children? And you know what? God has given such an honorable place to fathers in the kingdom of God, in the whole grand scheme of things. Fathers, do you realize that you are the picture of the Heavenly Father to your children? Do you realize that the first time they say Father is to you, and then they understand that there's a Heavenly Father up in the heavens, and when they try to make that connection, they think of you. They think of you, and I think for a lot of children, for a lot of our youth, the reason they don't understand the love of our Heavenly Father, the forgiveness of our Heavenly Father, the mercy of our Heavenly Father, is because of the examples that they've had in their earthly fathers. Fathers that stir up anger in their children rather than building love and building faith and building a life of prayer in their children. The Bible is very simple. So we have all these, like I said, from Genesis to Revelation, the Word of God to you, the Word of God to me, so many practical commandments for us. And we have the choice to obey or not to obey. And first and foremost, as in the life of Abraham, if we want to say we want to be heroes of the faith, if we want to say we want to increase our faith, if we want to say we want to be examples of faith, we first of all have to obey and go out. When God calls us to do something, we have to say, Lord, here am I. No matter if we agree with the word, disagree with the word, we have to say, Lord, if you say it, I will do it. Amen? We have to go out. The second thing that it says about Abraham in verse 8c is that he went out without knowing. Back to my story. One of the arguments that I used to have as God was calling me, and I felt that push to go into the ministry. One of the arguments that I would have with God, I would say, God, can you promise me that I won't have to go through the things that my dad went through, that my family had to go through till now? Can you assure me that I won't have to endure the same things that I've seen my family go through? If you can promise me that, if you can take away that worry, then okay, I'll go, I'll do it, I'll follow you. And of course, God in his grace and in his mercy, he wasn't willing to do that, because then it wouldn't be real faith. I wouldn't be obeying him in faith. I would be obeying the plan. I would be obeying the good life, so to speak. But I was saying, Lord, I don't want fancy cars. I don't want fancy houses. I just want that assurance, that promise. Lord, can you promise me that I won't have to suffer so many of the things that I've seen my parents suffer? And it could be the same for you. Going without knowing. What if you're somewhere at school or somewhere at a bus stop or somewhere with friends or maybe at a restaurant and you're feeling the Spirit of God leading you to go witness to somebody? You just feel the Holy Spirit telling you, go speak to that person at the next table. And for many of us, a lot of times we say, okay, God, okay, but if I go, is it going to be weird? Can you promise me that it's not, is the person going to give their life to God, to Jesus right now, fall on their knees and pray and whatever? What if I get rejected? What if he says, leave me alone? I don't want to hear it. And the thing is, faith means stepping out when we don't know what's going to happen. Going when we don't know what the result is going to be. Like the Word of God says, for some of us, when we go witness, we're called to maybe just plant the seed. Others are called to come along and water that seed. And then some of us are called by the grace of God, when we go and witness, to harvest. And when we harvest and somebody gives their life to Jesus, and it's not just our work, but it's been other people that have been faithful, that have walked out not knowing, that have been rejected, that have been ridiculed, that have been blasphemed, but they went and they trusted God and they said, Lord, I will do it, even if I am ridiculed, even if I do look like a fool, because I love you, Lord. Even if I don't know what's going to happen, I will obey. And God is saying, is knowing me enough, or do you need to know the plan? Is it enough for you to know me and to know that I love you and that I will take care of you and that I will be with you? Or do you need to know the plan? Do you need to know the steps? Do you need to know how it's going to work out? And faith, second of all for tonight, for us, means stepping out, even not knowing what's going to happen. The third thing that it says about Abraham is that he stayed. It says he got to Canaan and he stayed. Back to my story, I finally accepted God's calling at age 28. At age 28, I finally said, "Lord, whatever it is you want me to do, I will do." And when I said that, the heavens opened up, angels sang, there were trumpets, music, fireworks, sunshine, happiness, all that stuff, right? No. As soon as I said yes to the Lord, our church went through one of the most difficult periods that we've gone through. Difficult for everybody, difficult for my family, difficult for me. And I said, "Lord, you let me down." I said, "Lord, you let me down. You told me to follow you, Lord. And I told you I was afraid. I told you I was weak, Lord, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't go through what my parents went through. Look, everything I was afraid of happened." And believe me when I say that there were several days, several weeks when I just wanted to throw in the towel. I say, "Lord, that's enough." But Abraham stayed. And the question is, what are you going to do when you get to Canaan and it's filled with Canaanites? With struggles and disappointments and with betrayal. What's going to happen? Where's your faith going to be? Where's my faith going to be? What happens when you finally obey God and you sacrifice yourself? You sacrifice your time, your energy, everything, and you obey and you join that ministry that God's been calling you to. You join the kids' ministry, you join the choir, you join whatever, and instead of being welcomed with open arms, you get the cold shoulder. There's gossip. What's going to happen then? Because that's when our faith really comes out. That's when it shows whether our faith truly is in God. If we stay when times get tough. If we get to Canaan, and even though it's filled with Canaanites and filled with problems, we say, "Lord, I have nothing here, but I have you, and it's enough." And then the last thing that it says about Abraham is that he looked forward to a city. He looked forward to the promises of God. And for us, we need to look forward and not around. The key to faith is to look forward, not around us, not to our circumstances. We need to fall in love with the Word of God and all the promises that He has for us and say, "God, you said it, so I believe it. Even if it looks impossible, you said it, so I believe it. Even if I'm confused, you said it, so I believe it. Even if I'm all alone, Lord, you said it, so I believe it." Because my question to you is, what is more real to you? What's more true? What's more tangible? What's more touchable and solid? Is it the circumstances that you find yourself in? Or is it the Word of God? Is it the promises of God to you? And I just want to leave you with one word. Matthew 24:35 says, "Heaven and earth will pass away. These circumstances will pass away. Whatever situation you find yourself in will pass away. The gossip will pass away. People will pass away. Good things and bad things, they will pass away. But it says, my words, my promise to you, Emmanuel Church, will never pass away." Amen. Amen.